Hey everyone, I'm Ayana.
And I'm Delilah, and we're the non-corporate girls. So, welcome to episode 15. Oh my god,
episode 15.
And we're in the space of transitions.
Yes, we out here. Hard.
Yes, and transitions can be
daunting.
Daunting, good and bad.
Yes.
But I feel like it's almost always like taking you to the, like you're leveling up,
yeah,
when
because
a transition happens.
Change is the only thing constant, right? So every day we're changing and we're evolving, and that falls in line with transitions, as challenging as they may be or as great as they may be.
Right. And so
on a positive note,
and the transitions I've been facing for the, like, now a little bit over a week.
Yes.
I just feel like it's super dope, my attitude towards the transitions that happened in my life.
You know what? I agree with you. You've actually had such a really positive attitude the past couple of days.
Yeah.
About your experiences.
Yeah, I would say, like, the ability to be my own motivation. Mm-hmm. Because I was explaining to Ayana how, you know, a lot of us, well, at least we try to make moves in silence and let our work make the noise.
Yes.
But making moves in silence also comes with the ugly part of those moves, you know,
yeah.
when things don't really work out. And so it's not to keep thoughts and feelings to yourself, but because you don't want to discuss with people every step of the way,
yeah.
It's like you also,
you gotta move silently.
Yeah, the not so bright times are also gonna be in silence as well.
Yeah.
So if you stay in that position for too long, where, you know, like when we said it in previous episodes about being in a rut, if you stay there too long, since you don't have people that are gonna motivate you, you have to give yourself that opportunity to feel that, and then kind of take yourself, like, be your own motivation.
Yeah, and it's a work in progress, right? Like, every day, I mean, you know, whether you're going through a transition or not, being, trying to, like, be that motivating factor for yourself is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So now you adding on these, like, extra challenges or whatever, it can be interesting, to say the least. And, you know, you definitely have to find the bright spots. Is there anything that you do, like affirmations and things like that, to help, that has helped you in the past couple of days? Get through some of this stuff? Because I know, like, when we talked about, like, being in the rut and things like that, you know, we talked about how to not be in the rut.
Right.
But you're, like, actually moving through this right now.
Exactly. I mean, for one thing I had mentioned to you in our conversation through text was everything I need, I have already.
Yes.
So it's constantly reminding myself that,
yes,
it's possible.
It is.
So instead of trying to think about what the setbacks are, it's like, let's get going on the task and let's complete the task. Like, you know, like, do it. Yeah, it may be hard, but it's just kind of being, applying yourself and thinking positive, rather than being like, oh, I don't have enough money for this, or I don't have, let's say, for lack of better examples, like, I don't know how to code.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, those shouldn't,
like,
be
with the tools. Like, you're like, oh, I don't have the tools, but, like, you can't worry about the tools. Right now, you need to worry about the execution, get it done, and things will fall in place. Like, you'll figure it out however you need to.
And, I mean, the tools are important because, like, I can't over here say I'm going to create a website, I don't know how to code.
Right.
But that shouldn't stop me from thinking I won't be able to.
Like, you can find resources.
Yeah.
You can get it. You can figure it out.
And another thing for me is, like, my appreciation for social media right now is so real.
Why? Why is it so real?
So, I've been reaching out, like, really tapping into my network.
Just, like, connecting.
Connecting. And it's just, like, there's so... And that goes back to everything you have, everything you need, you have.
Yeah.
As, like, with social media, there's so many... It's so possible to reach out to people that a couple of years back, you wouldn't have access to.
Right.
Like, you could slide into someone's DM and, like, pitch yourself. You can ask for an email address. Like, it's so much easier to get directly to the source and cut out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something
that it also goes with being resourceful, though. Because, you know, people, like, I mean, I'm sure we'll probably like talk about this too, but like we just came from an event and someone asked a question and someone's answer was Google. Like people aren't aware about how accessible things really are. Right. You actually have to do the work. You gotta be resourceful, you gotta figure it out. If you can actually do the work to figure it out, it will appear. It will happen.
It's true. I mean, I guess like back in the day there was more. So yeah, that's basically like my positive note, and I've appreciated how it's allowed me to leverage things in such a short amount of time.
Right. I get that. So, you know, this, you know, going back to everything you said, this week for me has been super crazy because I've just been feeling so, like, in transition. Like, I know that I need to make moves, and I'm trying to figure out what those moves are, and I'm just not there yet. So...
Well, you're not there in that you're not ready to commit into what these transitions need to be, or you're unaware of what the transitions themselves, like...
I'm not ready to commit to what the transitions
and need see,
to be.
I was speaking to Ayana because I think she said this, but in another way, through our text, and I told her two different things. First, I said, because one of the things is, like, her removing herself from the job she's at, and I was just like, everybody's waiting for you to do it. Do it. And then another thing is that if you're anything like me, you probably don't trust yourself. And that's something that I feel a lot of us struggle with, is not trusting ourselves, because most of the times we make the decisions, right?
Yeah.
And
like the decision's already
made, but we want somebody to validate what we're saying, to be like, you know what, you're right, or you know what, it's not, or whatever, like talk us out of it. And for me personally, I've kept certain information from certain people so that I practice relying on myself.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I don't trust the people I share this information with, but the opinions, the pushback, the, you know, certain words, it's like, that's not what I need at that time.
Right.
So I need to, like, really believe in me to know that what I'm deciding, I know the best for me. Even more than my mom, even more than anybody. Like, I know what's best for me.
Which is something we talked about last week, too. Just, like, you know, how figuring out, deciding what's right for you, and deciding what, and not really deciding what people think is right for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's along those lines. But you know, someone, my sister, my older sister, actually, like, I had a conversation with her yesterday, and she said something very interesting too, because you told me something interesting as well. But she told me that you know, you, like, it's really interesting when you've really already made up your mind. You know what I mean? Like,
and then you're still doing things, going about it.
Yeah, like, why are you, like, backtracking? Like, you've already made up your mind. And then today, someone told me something interesting, too, that they think that I'm holding on to my present situation because I know in my mind that this is the last time I'll ever be in this situation. Like, I thought that was, like, crazy, right?
Yeah.
And this is someone who don't know me. Like, I mean, we're cool. She's great.
Which I think people that, like, that offer their insight not knowing is very objective.
I know, because I was like, I really? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
think about it.
No, I have. I've been sitting with that.
It makes sense.
I've been sitting with that, and it just brings me back to my Instagram post yesterday when I put, you can. Like, that, like, yesterday morning, I was just such in a space, and I was just like, you know what, you can. It's going back to affirmations. Just, like, telling myself, this is what I need to do. This is what can happen. And you know me. I am a risk taker. I've taken some crazy risks, right?
Girl, don't speak about risk taking on here, because I've done... picked up and left. I've lost. I mean, just my, like, I don't think I live a double life, but I low-key live a double life.
You've lived a thorough life, for
and
sure.
And I'm just, like, very, I think it's part of being an Aries, too. Like, we just go.
Yeah.
And really don't put much thought into certain things. And the things we do put thought in is more because... not because our own thoughts, is like what other people are telling us.
See, and I think being a Sagittarius, where we vibe because we're super independent and we're like travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And like that could be our soul, that could be our person. We're always out.
Right.
But we're also super analytical as well. So like where we think about things, but then we still do them.
Right.
So it doesn't even matter. But
it's like, well, that time I wasted thinking, I've been doing.
Like that's why like, and you know what, like I feel like, and this is just like a total sidebar, but like Taurus, they're thinkers, and then sometimes they're like, it holds them back. Like especially the people I know in my life, they overthink so much. Whereas Sagittarius, well, I'm gonna speak for myself. I'm a thinker, but I'm such a doer
right.
that like sometimes the people probably wish I thought more
before. Yeah. Like, I was trying to think of the word, but, like, I just take the leap. I take the leap.
We're risk takers, but you kind of got to be risk takers as entrepreneurs. But either way, like, in the scheme of a positive note, you know, I think, like, when you're going through transitions, trying to, like, be your own motivator is a really good phrase that you said. Mm-hmm. And really just, like, understanding that you do have all the tools that you need to accomplish what you need to get done. You know what I mean? And then go from there.
And be realistic, because another thing that I've noticed is, like, sometimes we are so passionate that we commit so hard and we don't know how to break up with our ideas.
Because it's like, what are you really committing to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you committing to the idea? Are you committing to the work? Are you committing to the business? Like, what exactly are you committing
to? Are you committing to what people think of you from you having this idea and what it could become?
Yeah.
But you haven't done the work.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. It's food for thought. Yep. So, you know, that's just, you know, we always like to open with a positive note. Jumping into a hustler spirit, though. What's going on this week with you?
So, Hustle Spirit, the event that we went to today.
Yes.
Wait a minute. How about yesterday? Yesterday, we did a walkthrough at the media center it's about to be a real upgrade for non-corporate girls. And just... I gotta give a shout out to Daniel from PMP Media because we literally told him, I wish I can put you in my pocket.
Daniel is the bomb.com. Like, for instance, like, and this is right now, we shouting him out. If you don't know Daniel from PMP Media, you need to get to know him, because he is going to
actually, I don't want you to know.
Okay,
I want to be
well,
so
he's
selfish.
He's ours, but his company and what they can provide for businesses and entrepreneurs is really great. So check them out, because it's, you know, I always say, like, you know, especially starting a business, like, you're definitely not in it alone. You need a community of people. And Daniel doesn't even know that he's, like, one of our community people.
Yeah, he's one of our go-tos. And just, like, his present, what he provides to us. So, whatever. Long story short, we went. We got a whole tour of the media site that we'll be working from in, like, the next month. And just his insight and, like, bouncing back
energy,
ideas,
right?
Ideas. And just giving us perspective, because... he really turns up the volume on the ideas we already have, which are already great. So for him to, like, refine them more and give us even, I don't know, it was just amazing vibe. Like, we ended up,
so
we were supposed to record yesterday, and we're recording today. We don't record on Thursdays. Damn, this noise is going on.
I know.
It's fine.
We apologize.
It's cool. But, yeah, we're recording on Thursday because yesterday we just wanted to really keep on with that vibe and not interrupt it. And just, like, really listen to what his feedback was.
Yeah.
And I felt like it tied so much into the event we went to today, which the event we went to today was super dope as well. It was called Show Me the Money, Creative Ways of Financing Your Venture. And some of the panelists was John Henry, who's a Dominican-American from Harlem, I believe, or, like, maybe one of the boroughs.
Yeah,
and
I think Harlem, though.
He has, like, an incubator that's in Harlem. He is for the culture. Like, he is about our people and about... He's about, like, circulating the money within us.
Yeah, he's like, we got to take care of our community. We need to help each other.
You guys got to look him up. His Instagram is John... No, his Twitter... I think his Twitter and Instagram is the same. John Henry Style. Another one was co-founder and managing partner at 1000 Angels, Erica Dugnan Minahan, and she gave her perspective from, like, a banker investor standpoint.
Very heavy in finance background she has, and she definitely didn't sugarcoat anything
at all. She's like that person, you think you're getting a yes, it's
probably
a million no's. Yeah, like, go back to the drawing board.
Right.
She'll humble you real quick. And she was the only woman on the panel.
Yeah.
Another one was Grady Spivey. He's a social entrepreneur and music executive. BFF
to Swiss Beats.
And Alicia.
Yeah.
And has done some phenomenal work. Like, he started, has an exec
at
Sony. Then
A&R,
he was at
A&R. And he's a
super dope trajectory.
Really dope.
And then another guy who was CEO and founder of New School, Abron Maldonado. And he has
incredible.
Yes, he's in the ad tech space. And he basically merges education with platforms and how he can teach those platforms, like, in schools. So he comes more from, like, a social, like, not-for-profit background. No, well, not background, but standpoint. But flipped it so that his business model isn't a non-for-profit.
It's a for-profit, right?
It's a for-profit. But he was, his examples and stories of what he was sharing was, like, how when he was saying his ideas, investors automatically said this should be that, and he didn't allow them to be boxed.
Yeah,
like, he was like, no, it's not gonna be a non-for-profit. Like, my family stems of non-for-profit. I know, right, where they're limiting, and I know where they cannot allow you all the time to make the money that
deserves. Goes back into having a clear vision of what your goal is and what your business is, because you need to be able, and they pretty much said this on the panel as well, which we all know, but you are the only one that's going to be able to speak about your business the way you can speak about it. And if you're going to show that passion and want people to invest in you and take that chance, they got to believe it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he was really clear on that, and even though they tried to box him in, he knew the potential of the business, so he didn't allow that to happen.
And speaking about speaking on your business, if you can't do it in 5 minutes, you need to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah,
because nobody's here sitting down trying to figure out the answers and questions. Like, you have to dumb it down. Like, one of the
acronyms
was KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
So if you can't pitch me in 5 minutes, you have to go back to the drawing board and simplify what it is that you're trying to sell.
And we talked about elevator pitches a couple of, like, an episode or two back. Like, you know, it's very important to have your elevator pitch together. And it's not something that comes easy, but it is something that should be, like, it should roll off your tongue. Like, you
yeah.
should be able to give a clear, concise, you know.
And I think it also should come from the standpoint of how you can add value to the person.
Yeah.
Because I would assume that any event you're at where there's people that you may, like, meet that you,
yeah.
you know, intentionally went there.
You're going to be pitching yourself.
Well, not even pitching yourself. Not even that. Like, you're going to know who you're speaking to.
Yeah.
Because you should do the research about who
right.
you're going to approach. So when you speak to them, you're coming from a place where you're going to add value to them specifically. You know, mm-hmm. rather than generalize and it's like, you're another Joe.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's about the whole collaboration. Like, it's not what you can do for me, it's what we can do for
right.
each other.
Right. You guys should check out my Twitter at Miss Delilah C. I took notes during the panel and I dropped some good gems and I added, like, what do you call it, their handles if you want to follow the people on the panel, and just, like, some key things that they shared that was good.
Yeah, it was really cool, and there were some, like, it was a really interesting panel. And I think what was the most interesting about it is that it just continues to enforce how much work we have to do on our end for non-corporate girls, which is real, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that this is something we believe in, and non-corporate girls is not just a podcast, it is a platform, it is a movement, and, you know, we believe in that. So every time we go to these events that we tell you about it, we're also getting inspiration and we're getting knowledge and we're being able to take what we're learning to execute and put into our businesses and what we're trying to do.
Exactly.
You know,
and like, we go with purpose. Like,
go with
we
purpose.
Knew that this was going to touch on finance and what was that?
That's a one-liner.
Yes, it is. We knew that, like, you know, we came in with intention to find out information on finance. Like, there's so many resources, and
there's,
sometimes you don't know of them until you put yourself in a position to
exactly
to
exactly
learn.
And well, we do have a really interesting question that we do want to share at the end.
Yes.
But before we get off of A Hustle Spirit, I just want to let you guys know, actually, because I don't think I've mentioned this, that Meet Me Series is having another event on Thursday, June 22nd. It's a collaboration with Boss Magazine, and it is an intimate fireside chat with Marie Jean Baptiste, who is the founder of Rue 107. So if you guys are interested, seats are very limited, but definitely email me at info at Meet Me Series or DM me on Instagram. Make sure you sign up to Meet Me Series newsletter, and you can get the details.
That's good.
So, off the record. There's a couple of things we want to talk about. So, the first thing we want to talk about is, I don't know if you guys are following the news, but there's a CEO, and she just left Apple. She was the global consumer marketing for Apple Music and iTunes. She just left Apple, and now she is going to be what, chief brand ambassador at...
I'm actually looking it up right now.
At Uber. I think her... And her name is Buzama St. John. Tell me I said that correctly.
So it was an Apple CEO leaving to Uber, right?
Yeah, so she...
Yeah, one thing I'm going to do in our new space is be having my laptop.
She...
Buzama St. John.
Yes, so Buzama St. John. She's the girl who's... The woman, actually, who's in charge of, like, the dope Apple... ads, because I love Apple ads,
like the Taraji,
that's her.
That makes so much sense.
I said that too. I was like, this makes sense. But anyway, doesn't matter because she's out at Apple. She left and she's now on to Uber. And you know, I think it's really interesting that she's moving on to Uber. A lot of people have different thoughts on it, but I mean, hopefully she can turn Uber's crisis around, because right now the people are not feeling Uber.
Yeah, so, they've been doing a lot of, like, just making some
silly mistakes.
There's just
too much that PR crisis. There's so much going on with Uber.
And also, like, allegedly there were some cases of
sexual harassment. Yeah,
and
like,
assault. Like,
but, and she's coming on as the chief brand person for Uber. So that's going to be really interesting. So, you know, we didn't know if you guys heard about that. What else is going on in the news? If you guys are really into, like, some, like, entertainment culture... you know, Amal and George Clooney, they welcome twins into the world. So that's interesting. Why do I feel like also, like, a lot of celebrities just have twins?
Because that's not, like, natural. Like, they're inseminating. Like,
they're
paying for these twins.
Why is having twins?
Because they can afford it.
That's true.
Yeah. Because, like, come on. Y'all not all having twins around the same time. Like, I'm not here for it. I'm not believing that.
Is she not a believer? But, anything else for off the record?
Twins are, like... Like, that's difficult if it doesn't already run in the family.
I know, I want twins, but I mean, my chances are high, I guess.
So another thing that was super dope and to add to the history of pop culture,
yes,
and the hip hop movement in general is that today is the inaugural Global Hip Hop Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it launched. So I think this would be an annual celebration every year.
Like every year in June, you think?
I don't know if it's in June, because today's June 9th. So I think June 9th marks Global Hip Hop Day.
Okay, got it.
And they basically, Cedric Avenue in the Bronx is the birth of hip hop. And they changed the name to Hip Hop Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the unveiling of that. And a lot of pioneers came out to the Bronx, the Bronx borough president, which I am obsessed with him, Ruben Diaz. He's just so, like, for the culture. He speaks so well. Like, he understands. He's not, like, far removed from, like, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up, you know, like, from a poor family. So, like,
right,
he gets the struggle. He's not,
yeah,
like, he was...
He started from the bottom.
Yeah, like, he gets it. And they got him rapping, like, when he was giving his speech or whatever. Fat Joe was there.
Of course.
The Lox was there. Cardi B was there.
Of course.
So it's just another, like, you know, rite of passage,
yeah,
the legacies that, you know, that started the whole hip hop movement to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So Global Hip Hop Day, look it up, the hashtag is
everywhere.
Yeah. I just thought it was dope. And I mean, half of my life I grew up in the Bronx, so I gotta rap.
You gotta rap. I hear you, I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
So, hashtag obsessed with. This week, we are obsessed with. Do you want to do the honors?
Yes. Our girl from Curlbox. Miss hashtag my tortue. My leak.
Yes, my leak. If you guys don't know about my leak, seriously, one, you need to check out her podcast, because she's fucking dope. Like, she's, oh, you know why she's dope? Because she's super relatable. And there are so many times when I'm listening to her, I'm like, that's me. Like, that's what I say.
Like,
that's how I feel.
It was one of her one-liners. She, when she promotes her podcast and stuff, she wrote, "Growing up, I had no blueprint for success. There was no one who looked like me to show me the ropes. And what she's become to other young women,
yeah,
is a blueprint, because
it's super inspirational,
and she's come a long way.
She's come a long way.
Like, I was just listening to a podcast just recently with her and Joanna Simkin. It was not the most latest episode, but I kind of pick which ones I want to listen to depending who's the guest. And she was just telling, like, Joanna Simkin, they spoke about the Carol's Daughter incident.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I understand what people got upset about it and everything, but I met this man personally, and she was like, I was at my lowest of low. She was like, I was at such a low time when I met him that it was one of those things, like, you know when someone asks you how you're doing and you just, like, word vomit? Like, it is inappropriate to be like, well, I can't pay my rent, I can't do A, I can't, because you don't know this person for a whole while.
Right.
But it just, like, them asking you, it makes you just want to take
off. It's like taking the load off.
Yes. And so she literally went in and he was like, don't worry, I got you. Like, I don't know what that don't worry, I got you meant. Like, I don't know if he helped financially. I don't know if she went into that detail. But it was just like, she said all that to say she couldn't be upset at him because she knows him as the person, and what his intent wasn't is to, you know, exclude black women from that commercial that had happened or whatever.
Oh, you meant Shea Moisture, right?
Oh, I said yeah. Shea Moisture.
Okay.
So she met the CEO at some situation. So, yeah, like, I shared that story because she was at a low point. And even us seeing her successful curl box, there have been moments when she was still low. And it, just looking at, like, what curl box has created and their social media, you thinking they're high, but even in the back scenes, they were, like...
I'm sure. I mean, first of all, CurlBox is a subscription-based model, right? Mm-hmm. And she came out subscription-based when subscription wasn't even that big. It wasn't, like, everyone
was
doing...
It was a little bit subscription, but it was not big for women of color.
Right. Everyone's doing subscription now, but, like, everyone, right? Like, your fashion sites, your beauty sites.
Vogue.
But
she's... Right.
But, you know, she started when, it, like... hair products and things like that for women of color, to the lightest point, wasn't a big thing. Wasn't even, like, existing. So, you know, she definitely had her share of challenges with that, and she still does, because now, like, she's in a saturated market now because everyone wants to have it. However, she is reigning because she has a lot of experience, and, you know, she's building her brand. But she's so relatable with the blueprint that she has set already that she's really inspiring.
She's so humble, and, like, every single hairstyle that she rocks is amazing.
I know.
Like, I was looking through her Instagram, and, like, she has all the looks.
I know. She's fabulous.
And some of her friends are, like, some of the coolest women. And I also love the interview that she did with Carly
Roy. Yeah. You know, that's our ish.
Yep. So she's just, like, dope. She asks the questions that people really want to hear the answers to. Like, when she has interviews, it's like a whole no bars. It's not like
sugarcoat.
Yeah, it's raw. It's like, tell me how you got up out of this situation. Because everybody thinks it's like all peaches and cream. And, you know, you always hear the success story, but you don't hear, like,
the failures.
Yeah.
It's not like they're failures per se, but, you know, the things that held you down for a hot second before you had to pop back up and dust your shoulders off and keep it going. Which we've all had to do lots of times, and, you know, we're still going to have to do it, because being an entrepreneur, being a founder of any company, is no easy task. So we just rock with Mylique heavy. So if you don't know who she is, you need to Google and follow her on Instagram, and definitely check out her podcast, because she offers so much insight.
Oh my gosh, so much insight. Have you thinking about things that you probably didn't put into perspective, or
facts.
Just give you some reassurance?
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I mean, I don't even understand why we still think that we are alone in a lot of things, when there's so many people that are already older than, like, everything we've been through. You know, our parents always said that, like,
yeah,
you think you know it all. I've been through everything you've been through. Like,
but it's because as humans, we have, like, this me factor.
Oh,
like,
an experience
it's
factor.
It's like, oh, because it's happening to me. Like, this is what we make it personal. But it's like, sometimes you just kind of, which is why we go to, like, these events and we like listening to these entrepreneurs and things like that, because it is a perception thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, like, there's other people in the world who, like, have been through this. This is what they're this is what they're still going through.
And I mean, and we need to set up, like, my struggle, although is my, like, it's my struggle.
Right.
So it's like, to somebody else, it could look like, but you're blessed, you're mediocre. Like, that's a mediocre way to look at it, but it is my own. It's
yeah.
Like, we go through different things. It's like different levels, new devils.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's people that are millionaires and they are unfulfilled.
More money, more problems, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everyone got their own thing. Like, everyone has their own issues and their struggles or whatever. And, like, you even, oh my God, today when you sent me that that inspirational post from Gia Peppers, that really lit me up. Because I was like, yo, she's real. Like, that's, we all have our days. No matter how on top of the world you are, how low you are, we all have our days.
Yep, we just
so,
gotta, like,
push through it. Have the faith.
Have faith.
All right, well, to wrap up, let's talk about it.
Yes, this question was good.
So this was kind of inspired from the event we went to today. Mm-hmm. And the question is,
after reaching out to friends and family, what are other ways or resources you can tap into to help fund your business?
Right. So the first question here is, are you clear on what your business is? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, and we're putting ourselves in this too, a lot of people are not quite sure. They're like, am I an Inc.? Am I an LLC? Am I a not-for-profit? Am I a for-profit? What are you?
Am I a service? Yeah.
Like, you got to be clear on what the business is.
Is it content? Like, what is it that you're providing? Do you do the research? Like, is it needed or only do you need it? Only your friends need it? Like, one thing that was said on the panel that I thought was dope, and I remember hearing this same advice differently, was that I might not have the best camera or the best equipment, right, to produce whatever it is. Like for sake of my example, let's say I'm trying to produce video content for YouTube. It might look janky. It might look like not of quality. But if people are on it because it's that good, imagine when it does elevate to the level of how it should look, how you would wish it. So what was said was that for you to even think that you could get funding or should, think of that as an option, think about how many people even need your product. Mm-hmm. Like, if people are not missing it when it goes, like, you know, alphabet, if there's not a need anymore, then there's nothing to aspire to there.
Right.
Like, people gotta be, like,
in
being
demand.
Upset. Yeah,
it
gotta be
in
demand. Like, people gotta be upset that you no longer doing it anymore because the only camera you had broke.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, but, and you know, to that point, too, that's great because then you really get to assess if you need investment or not, like what you're trying to do. But then the other part, going back to like just something that everyone struggles with, is the whole question of, do I actually start a business? Because you feel like you don't have the tools you need to actually do it. And it's like, no, you need to do what you can do, and then the rest will kind of, you figure out the rest. Like, there's resources to do that. So,
right. Oh, and even to add another layer to that, because one of the young ladies in this event asked a question, and she was trying to do something that it necessarily doesn't exist, but it could add another component to a company that does exist.
Yeah.
So instead of going out on your own, which is something Daniel brought up to us too.
Daniel, aka our like mentor, but he don't know it yet.
Like, Daniel's everything. Like, sometimes you don't have to start something from scratch.
Yeah.
It's like, there may be a little piece of what you're doing that can help a business that already exists, already has the funding, the capital, the name attached. Like, you know, you can attach yourself to a bigger name and be in charge of that aspect of the business because you already did the research, you already did your homework, you're already bringing value to them. So you don't have to do it on your own. It's about pitching and seeing who you can match up with to help their business grow.
Right. And this just goes back to having a clear idea of what your business is. Like, what is the value? What can you bring? How can you bring value to other people? What's happening? So in order to get all of this going with investors, you need to have a clear idea. You need to have your resources. And when we say resources, first of all, you already know Google's your best friend. But there's so many other things out there that you do need to Google, like grants. You need to Google, like, angel investors, crowd venturing, venture capitalists. Like, there's so many financial terms that you can use to figure out how you can get money to get invested in your business, right? And these are things that they talked about on the panel, but these are also things that we know. And you just kind of, I mean, I'm like a diehard Shark Tank person. So, like, you know, these are just things that we know. But these are things that you need to seek out if you want to get investments, you know. And it isn't always one way either. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you need a mix of things to make it work.
Right.
It's really about doing the work, right? And then I think I would say the last thing, especially something that we know in general, because, you know, in business school, you're constantly writing business proposals and things like that. But something that they tapped on today at the event is that business plans are like no longer like something that you really need to slave over, right? And as two people who have MBAs, we know what it's like to write a business plan. I personally hate business plans, but what you need, according to our homeboy, what is his name? John. So John was like, executive summaries is really what you need. So out of that like massive book, you only need the executive summary. Like, they need a snapshot of what your business is about, and that's it. So that's what you need, and you also need a pitch deck. And that's something that we really believe in, a pitch deck. But if you don't already know what a pitch deck is or haven't done one, Google, because a pitch deck is going to really give you everything that you need to tell an investor why you have value and why they should invest in your company.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said. And it's just doing the research and surrounding yourself.
Lots and lots of research.
Surrounding yourself with people who know more than you. Because another thing that was mentioned, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, by now you should know that you should not be in that room. And also, before you even go to an investor or try to get funding, you should be speaking with, like, there should be, because your first impression with them is, like, the most important. And you don't want to waste their time and waste that one shot, one opportunity you have to possibly get them to fund you. So you want to speak to people who can be raw and honest, that you can kind of say those stupid things in front of and kind of, you know, get them refined or out of your system, so that you go with the end product that's A1 to the person that you're actually trying to get the money from.
Yeah. I mean, really, really look at Shark Tank. That really helps. Like, I'm telling you. But I've also personally been to a lot of venture capitalists, like, workshops and things like that, especially in, like, business school.
Yeah.
And, like, Damon John, I just love him. Like, I've seen him a couple of times. Like, it's real in these streets when it comes to investing.
Money. But you know what? Aside from the investing, the money, like, there's so much money out there. And I hear this all the time. But
you just gotta look for it.
You have to look for it.
You have to look for it.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I was telling this to a friend the other day, too, because she's, like, in the she's in the, like, education world. And I was like, yo, there's so many places that will give you money. They will give you money for supplies. They will give you money for beds. They will give you money for whatever you want. Lunch. They will, anything. Yeah. You have to look for, you have to do the work. You have to do the work.
It's so true. And, like, just keep on putting it out there, connecting, because unless people know what you're doing, they're not going to know that they can help.
And closed mouths do not get fed.
And also, do not, like, shy away from who you think don't need to know about your business.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the janitor that has a son who has a fiance. Like, it goes on of how these layers of connections
work. It's six degrees, right?
It became two.
It really, in our world, is definitely two. But for the average person, it's like 6 to 5 degrees, let's say.
Right.
So just, you know, do your work, and that's how you can kind of figure out, like, how your business is ready to have that investment that you're looking for.
Yeah, and feel free to reach out to us about questions, anything that has to do with the podcast, comments. Like, keep them coming. Like, we really enjoy reading them. Noncorporategirls@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. Our Twitter is a little bit shaky right now, but there is content there. Our Instagram is lit. Help us get to, like, 300. We at 299 followers right now.
And tag a friend.
And listen to the episode, because we have so many good things that we share.
Gems.
Yeah, like I like to call them.
All right.
Other than that, until next week. Later.
Bye.